No.
Yes, this is Representative Cowdery. Labor and Commerce Committee has had under consideration for sunset review the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. They had a recent public hearing on the matter. A large number of professionals in the industry testified in favor of extending the board. I believe it's the feeling of the committee that extending the board is in the best interest of the public. However, a number of problems exist, and both statute and regulations need to be amended before the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers will be extended. The purpose of today's work session is to discuss those problems that can be resolved through the passage of legislation. And I note the presence of, we have a couple of hairdressers here in Juneau, and also we have the presence of an ex-barber, maybe still a barber, Vern Hurlburt, Representative yep. Hurlburt of Fleetmouth.
Yeah.
And he is here to testify about some problems as he perceives from the barber end of it. And maybe the first one to testify would be Representative Hurlburt.
Well, I'll do,
I'll push that down.
No, or you can just push the button.
Pull the button.
Back, yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
You're on.
Well,
pull that up close.
I don't have anything to say other than that. I've been a barber a long time, and that I think we ought not to sunset the barber and barber board. I see they got it's the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, and I would like to see just the Board of Barbers theirself and the hairdressers theirself. I also have some amendments I want to put on the bill to. Go along with some of the statutes and along with the regulations, and that's about it.
Like I said, as I was talking to you prior to the meeting, your concerns are that perhaps the hairdressers have schools that they go to get their license, but the barber, you feel that the barber should have an opportunity to work in a barber shop with a licensed barber. Under an apprenticeship program, or how would you get into what your proposal
is? Oh, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, what happened was a few years ago when we had the barber board up for sunset review, we had a bill, we made a regular bill on the statutes for the barbers, and we put into law that they would have an apprenticeship program where barbers could take on an apprentice and tutoring, if you will, under that. And later on, I see the regulators put in that you had to be an instructor barber in the barber shop, which completely circumvented the whole thing. So I'm proposing that we say that just any registered barber in a barber shop can have an apprentice under him with a certain number of hours, and he can take the test, just the same as a barber's college.
How would you propose the test be given? I mean, who would give the test?
Well, the same way it is now, or in the past, the barber board gives the test, and they have the regular questions and everything all set up in the practical exam. It has been working well over the years, and there's no reason to change it. I would prefer just having a board of barbers on their own.
Separate board?
Yes, uh-huh.
I'd like to go to Anchorage this time, and with Carolyn Jansen, and perhaps she could comment on some of the comments that Representative Hurlburt has given. Carolyn?
Yes,
yes, did you copy Representative Hurlburt's comments on apprenticeship barbers or apprentice barbers? Do you have any comments on that?
Well, it's my belief that they do apprenticeship barbers already.
Yeah, that's true.
But do they, you go ahead.
Yeah, that's correct. There is a law that says they have to, they have an apprenticeship program, but understanding in the last rules I've seen that you had to be an instructor barber in the barber shop itself to have an apprentice, you know.
And that's so, correct.
Yeah, well, I want to change that.
You have to have an instructor, someone to teach that person.
Yeah, that's what the registered barber would be. Just a registered barber could instruct the person, but to get an instructor's license just seems redundant.
Well, I feel that you should be an instructor in the shop that is apprenticing.
Yeah, I understand that, but all over the United States they have apprenticeship programs, and you don't have to be an instructor barber, you just have to be a regular barber.
Not to my knowledge, but, can work on it, I guess. At this time, I would like to say that I am a board member, and I would like to leave my comments to our chairman, who is Morse Keeber in Fairbanks.
Okay, fine. Morse, are you, Keeber, are you there?
Yes, this is Morse Keeber in Fairbanks. If I could begin with answering in relationship to the conversation that just took place, one of the reasons that we had instilled the regulatory need for as an instructor in a barbershop is because during the process of us giving a license or examinations to individuals in the cosmetology field and in the barber field to license them as an instructor, we find such a tremendous difference in the ability of that individual to competently get a message across. We had one individual who we were examining for an instructor's license who told us, I cannot talk and work at the same time. I think that if an individual is going to be going into an apprentice program, and I certainly do agree with that concern, at the same time, I would like to be able to take care of that apprentice and ensure the fact that he did get a good education. And if there is any comment on that, you can probably come back to me.
Yes, I was wondering, you know, in our last hearing that we had here, we discussed the possibilities of various classes and putting, say, barbers in class one that just was interested in barbering, the basic barbering, and then go up into class two and on up to perhaps a class three that would be the full-fledged hairdresser that did everything and treated with chemicals and all of this. And I was just wondering, Representative Hurlburt has indicated that he thinks that we should separate the barber and hairdresser into separate boards. And I was wondering, that seems to have been, from the history that I've gathered, some of the problems that's been since they put them into one board. Have you any comments on those two areas?
Yes, in relationship to the separating of classes, there would be many different ways that this could be done. In many of the states who probably put out the best barbers in the country, they most normally go to school to begin with. They then leave the school, are examined by the board, and then go to work in a shop as an apprentice. Then after a given number of hours, which varies from state to state, they then come back to the board and are re-examined. This is a system that I would personally believe very, very strongly in. I do feel some concern for an individual spending a lot of time in a shop and not necessarily getting a good education. There's potential there for that individual to be manipulated. And I agree with the fact that the apprentice program, particularly here in Alaska, is a very necessary thing. Not everyone can get to school. In relationship to the various classes, again, in many of the states, and one of the things that I've been trying to do here is get our laws in line on severance not too long ago from Milady Publishing Company. He's president of the company. And I asked him his thoughts in relationship to how far a barber should go in learning various things that probably 10 years ago or 20 years ago were the hairdresser's domain only. And he pointed out that in today's day and age, that if a barber did not learn how to do some of the additional services, such as giving a permanent, that he would very quickly go out of business, because there is a tremendous number of people who do want this additional service. So I think that we could work on this in many, many different ways. I really feel that barber, master barber, would be a type of classification that I would be in favor of.
Okay, yes. Representative Hurlburt had some comments on, and he had indicated it used to be that way, different classes. And Representative Hurlburt, have you got some comments?
Yeah, I think in Alaska we used to just have just a regular barber, but we had the up until 1980 we had just the barber board that it was just an examiner, the board of barber examiners that they give the test, and you had the requirements. I forget what they were, 1,500 hours or 2,000 hours in a barber's college or something like that. And I don't believe we had the apprenticeship program. In other states, like Oklahoma, for instance, had an apprenticeship program where you just jump right in from ground zero and apprenticed under in a barber shop. Some of them required certain hours before like California, as I recall, California had you had to certain number of hours in a barber's college, and then all you could get was an apprentice license, and then you moved up to master barbers. There are all kinds of ways. I preferably would like to see where a limited number of hours in a barber's college, for instance, I feel that a couple of hundred hours is completely adequate for in a barber's college in any state. I mean, for this state, which only has, I think they've got one in Anchorage. I don't know about Fairbanks, but they only have one in Anchorage. That they could take a couple of hundred hours in a barber's college, and then it would qualify them to get an apprenticeship license, which would put them to work in a barber shop if the barber wanted to hire them. He tested them and thought they was confident enough to barber under him. And let him give him some instruction. Get the books that are recommended to take the written exam. Through a couple of years, it seems to me self-evident that a person with any aggressiveness at all can learn the barber field. I mean, in Oklahoma, for instance, they required 1,000 hours for a license. And the virtual opinion of everybody was that you go to barber's college to get your license, and then after you get out, you learn how to barber. And so it seems to me that you do much better working in a barbershop than going to barber's college.
Okay, Representative Ringstaff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mars, what do you think of the idea of splitting and making two boards out of this?
As Representative Hobart indicated, we were two separate boards in the past. The legislators combined us in 1980. At the present time, I think that we have a really tremendous board. I feel that working with Lisa and Carolyn Jansen in Anchorage has really helped me as a barber. I think cross information that we give to one another, I really feel is beneficial to both of us, to both fields. We are beginning to take a look at one another. Lisa expressed this, and I'm sure that she's probably right. At some point in the future, we may very well be coming much, much closer together. I think that operating in the manner in which the legislators set us up in 1980 is effective right now. Personalities may have a few
not be in favor of splitting that?
At this time, I think that it would be more cost efficient for the state if we did not. I would really not particularly have any feeling one way or another, in as much as the board itself. I think that our thoughts should go a little bit further than that and look at the state, and this is what I'm attempting to do. Our budgets have been cut down, and I think that we are saving some money here by being a combined board, and I don't really see where it is going to be any great amount of problem. I attended a national conference in Orlando, Florida, last September, and it would seem like the majority of states are heading toward combined boards.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. We have Lisa is next in Anchorage, and I'd like to know, I don't know if she wants to testify or just here to observe. I'd like to note the presence of Representative Furness, Representative Ringstad, Representative Copeland, and myself, Representative Cowdery chairing this morning's meeting, and also the presence of Representative Kroeber. And anyway, Lisa, are you there to testify or observe, or if not, I can maybe get Dennis Milhouse up.
Representative Mr. Milhouse, the internal arrangement among the participants is that they prefer that Mr. Milhouse go next, if that's satisfactory with you.
Yes, that's fine.
He is approaching the microphone.
Dennis Milhouse, he'll
good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
I had some comment on the apprentice program. I think that's what they wanted me to talk next time. I'll just listen to the conversation of the representative and the board chairman. And to get an apprentice or get a license to be an instructor only requires 3 years work experience. It doesn't require any schooling whatsoever for the barber. All he has to do is pass a practical and written examination presented by the state. I find myself in agreement with the board at this time that so many times in the past, and it's not in every case, and it's not, I wouldn't, you know, try to say that that every person that apprentices somebody exploits the person, but probably 9 times out of 10, the student becomes slave labor with no benefit to education. They become gophers or assistants. They really don't get the quality education that they do in a school. By having somebody pass a written and a practical exam, it ensures the state that that person that's taken on the responsibility of training another person is adequate in what they're doing, and the student benefits, like they say, the travel and the expense of coming to a municipality with a school in it is pretty expensive, and the apprentice programs in the smaller areas or the rural areas of Alaska are an important thing, but it's also important to maintain the proper paperwork that's required of schools and everybody else, and these people, these practitioners that wish to take on an apprentice should go by the same laws that we have to. I mean, we all live in Alaska, and it shouldn't be the locale where you go and what law you have to go by. And I feel that being that all they have to do with no schooling is just to have 3 years work experience and pass a board is just not unreasonable at all.
Representative Hurlbert, have you got any comments on, since you're a barber, and I think he was directing some of his comments to your comments. Hurlbert and Dennis Milhouse.
Yeah, I was just wondering, did you say that if you just had 3 years of experience that you could hire an apprentice barber?
No, I said all you have to have in Alaska law right now is to have 3 years of work experience and hold a current instructor license. I served as a board member for 5 years, and we examined kids, and that was mainly the reason that some of the people that had apprenticed the kids, really just, they were like slave labor with no benefit to education. They couldn't even do 60% of what was required of them because the people that had them basically didn't put the training in them or didn't have the knowledge to train them. So the student wasted a year or two of her life and still couldn't pass the board and get a license to get into the world of work. So what I'm saying is that the law says is all you need to have is 3 years work experience to take an exam to be licensed as an instructor. There's no schooling required at all. If you pass the exam, they license you as an instructor, and then you can employ apprentices.
How many of these did you test like that? that apprenticed in Alaska under another barber.
I haven't been on the board for, I've served 5 years, and I haven't been there for several years. I couldn't really distinguish how many, but there was a difference. I think the occupational licensing has, or did have at one time, the pass-fail records of the apprentices and what their scores were, and most of them were just, the ones that did pass just squeaked by to get their license. They were at the low 75s and 76s.
Did you know that Alaska hadn't had this apprenticeship long enough to even do that? They never had an apprenticeship law until just rather recently.
No, the hairdressers have always had I can't speak for the barbers. The hairdressers have always had apprentice programs, and they've had them. They've had apprentice programs before they had schools, and the apprentice programs were never stopped. All they did was basically try to strengthen up so that they could get better education to the students that were taking apprenticeships.
Yeah, that's why we got to separate the boards from the barbers and beauticians. We're talking about barbers here. I don't care about the
barbers. Well, it's the same law that applies for the barbers, too. It's 3 years' work experience and hold a current license. There is a lot of confusion. I am kind of in agreement that bookkeeping or just the cost efficient, combining the boards it really aren't that important because you have your own set of laws and the hairdressers have their own set of regulations and laws. I think that the Department of Commerce, by lumping them together, can save money. I feel that the barbers should be in charge of inspecting and grading their own students and inspecting their own barber shops because they know more about what they're looking for than a hairdresser does. I don't feel a hairdresser can adequately grade and a barber student in his exams, and I feel the barbers cannot adequately grade a cosmetology student in hers. And I think that the grading and the examination should totally be separate. I don't think the barbers should get involved, and I don't think the hairdresser should get involved with the barbers.
That sounds like what I agree with. I think we ought to have two boards, and then we'll make sure they don't. But we ought to have particular laws there that separate those apprenticeships, because there shouldn't be any confusion about the apprenticeship barber laws and the apprenticeship beautician laws or hairdresser.
It's the same. Yeah, just that you're under the Administrative Procedures Act or the regulations, or the barbers have their own and the hairdressers have their own. It's already separated.
Yeah, okay, whatever you say.
Okay, perhaps I should get maybe Harry and Julie, if you'd like to come and chair, come up, just set it up. One of the seats here, and we kind of have an open discussion on any of these questions.
Do you want me to sign off?
No. Well, if it's just a work session, it's just we're going to try to iron out and deal with this piece of legislation today. So hopefully we can come up with something.
I just wanted to speak and to try to clarify that one, you know, the particular thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I'd say, do you want me to just stay on the horn, or do you just want me to...
Yeah, that'd be fine. We're just getting the other, some of the other witnesses that are here, just up here at the table for a work session. Julie, or Chair, do you have some comments on what's been... just push the button now.
My name is Julie Ward, and I'm a hairdresser here in Juneau, and I do have a comment on the apprentice program because I was trained as an apprentice here in Juneau, and I feel the quality of the education I had was far superior than the education I could have gotten in a school in the interior. I had a one-on-one training with a very good hairdresser in town, and I wasn't thrown into I was in a salon situation, but when you have a license, that's what you do. You do people's hair. And so as I was apprenticing, I did people's hair, and that's how I learned. I had to study my books on my own time, and I did, and I went up and I passed my written and I passed my practical the first time around. And I really feel very strongly about having an apprentice program. I don't know exactly, you know, the problems that the apprentice program has had in the Anchorage area, but I think in the Southeast, where we have no schools at all, that we need to have an apprentice program. And if we need to be licensed as instructors, then so be it. But the lady that trained me was not licensed as an instructor. There's a few hairdressers here in Juneau. I know Ione Lambert, former board member, has had 12 apprentices without an instructor's license. And when they decided to have an instructor's license, she wasn't given a grandfather clause or anything. And this woman has had 12 successful apprentices in the past. And so, I don't know if I agree with the instructor's license being necessary. I think it's okay. You know, I'm not going to complain about that, but I don't want to see anything happen to the apprentice program. I want that to still be open, especially for Southeast. This is a big state, and as long as there's no schools in this area, we need to have an apprentice program.
Yes, I would hope, but probably the board needs to work out these in the regulations, some of these concerns. Do you have comments?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Harry?
No, sir. I'll just sit and listen.
Do you have some comments?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm trying to get everybody to get involved. It's our intention to extend the board, but we've got a drafter that I think is monitoring. Yes, Representative Copeland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, listening to the conversation, I'm not clear whether the problem is actually with the regulations, the statutes, or in one or two cases, the way in which they were carried out. And I'd like to get a little historical background on this. Are these problems being worked through, or are they something new?
Yes, Marsh in Fairbanks, could you comment on Representative Copeland's question there?
Yes, thank you. We have at the present time a quite lengthy list of in a draft form of proposed regulation change. I also have taken the time to go through the statutes one by one. There certainly are a lot of changes that could be done there.
Excuse me, Mr. Kuba, this is the moderator in Juneau. I wonder if we could ask you to speak either closer or more directly in the microphone. We're not really receiving your signal very loudly.
I'm sorry, I'll speak a little closer. We have attempted to work out many of these problems. Daryl Miller from the Department of Occupational Licensing does have a very lengthy draft of regulation change, proposed regulation change, and I would like to see that adopted as is, and I believe in speaking with the board members in Anchorage and in Ketchikan in the past couple of days, they are in agreement with that. There are statute changes that are necessary here also. Some of these things here we have got to be upgraded. Much of this is in relationship to terminology, and I think that we could change statute here to where we could make this entire program much more effective. There's one concern that I would like to come back to for just a moment in relationship to the conversation a moment ago. When we have people crossing state lines from one state to another, they take a look at what we are doing here. The majority of states now are entering into an endorsement or reciprocity agreement. However, they do look at the number of hours that we attend school, and practically every statute in the country immediately refers to that. I'm a little bit concerned about that. I would like to have our laws, schools, and our system set up to where our people could, if they did want to, cross a state line and be able to get a license in another state in the same manner as we are now giving licenses to people who come up here. If there's any other questions about background here, could you come back to me?
Yeah, just a minute. I would like to allow the moderator to dial in the drafter of this proposed legislation. He needs a break then, so we'll just stand by here for recess for just a few minutes.
This is Ken, the moderator. You know, I'll be dialing Terry Kramer. I believe she's with Legal Services. Stand by. She'll be joining us shortly. I'll be calling the tones on the network. Yes, this is Ken. I'm speaking from the Legislative Teleconference Network, and you are on conference equipment at this time. Terry Kramer's expecting my call.
Just a moment.
Tell him that we might be getting a food session.
I got to tell you some more stories about Boyd. I got some updates. He burned out down up there.
Hello, this is Terry Kramer.
Yes, Terry, we'd just like you perhaps just to observe some of the dialogue that's going between some of the people testifying here on this hairdresser. So you could help in drafting the legislation, necessary legislation that we will be have to deal with for sure. At this time, I'd like to recognize Representative Furness and then Julie Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question to Mr. Marsh, Tuber, I believe it is. Sir, you mentioned some changes in regulation. Are there any changes in statute that you would recommend at this time?
I've got about two pages of them here.
Do we have those here, or by chance a copy? I could have you send those to us?
I could certainly send you a copy, and I did send you a response to your legislative order. I wanted to make sure that you knew that I did respond to it. It should have gotten to you by now. I will type up this statute changes that we have gone over, and myself and the other board members have done this by phone, and we are all in agreement with this. I can type them up and send them to your office.
Mr. Coover, this is the moderator in Juneau. I think it's the desire of both the chairman and other members of the committee. If those are legible enough, you are in a legislative information office and they do have telecopy equipment, we could receive copies of those over the phone lines, printed copies we could receive in a matter of minutes if you would like to hand that to somebody there to handle that for us.
I will get them out there in about 2 seconds. I'll take them out there right now.
Okay. That was going to be my suggestion.
Yeah, thank you. Next one to comment, I think, here in Juneau is Julie Ward. Julie, do you have some comments?
The comments that I have are statute regulation, and I've written a letter that both Senator Eliason and Representative Cowdery have with my suggestions for statute changes. And I've testified at past meetings, and I'm sure the people that are present at today's meeting have got, you know what my statute changes are in regards to. I do have the problem that I do have is that the regulations that have been set forth by the board in the past are in conflict with the statutes that the governor has set forth for board members, and I feel that these need to be straightened out. I want to state that I feel it's very important for Juneau to have a professional person on the board. I have had no objection in the past to Juneau having a public member, but I know that we need to have a professional voice from Juneau, and I'm afraid that if Juneau has another public member, that public member will not be as knowledgeable about hairdressing as I feel Irene Roberts Erickson has been. And I definitely think that Juneau, I don't know how we can do it, and it would possibly have to be a statute change, that Juneau needs to have a professional voice on the board, whether it be a barber or a hairdresser. And that's all I have to comment right now.
Welcome to a member of the Board of Appeals.
Thank you, Julie. Representative Furness, do you have any?
No, Mr. Chairman. In fact, if that information is forthcoming, we can take Mr. Kubrick's information, Mrs. Ward information, perhaps, integrate those into the proposed extension legislation.
Yes. Chair, do you have some comments?
Not right now. It seems like we're covering things that are important.
Is my phone?
This is Cher Winton, and I have a salon here in Juneau, and just a couple of things. What's being mentioned, I think, is real important. In some of the meetings that we just had, it was mentioned that we still need a board, and I think we've gone past that now. We're coming up with some ideas that we really need. I think one of the biggest problems that we've had is how the board is qualified or how they're chosen, and I think that if an application or something was formed, or there were members of maybe the hairdressers and barbers industry would have a chance to apply for positions on the board instead of just appointed by the governor, maybe this would be a help. A suggestion for a public member that I heard from a barber here in Juneau is that maybe a retired or an ex-hairdresser or barber who understands the profession could be on the board as a public member, but who is not working anywhere right now. Just a suggestion. I don't know. Well, maybe we definitely need someone that hasn't been in the field before. I don't think this is really a conflict of interest. I think it would be a genuine interest. And there are, even ex-salon owners in this town that I've talked to who agree with that idea. I don't think that we should separate the boards. I think we can work together to maybe even raise the standards that we have now for barbers and hairdressers. But I think that we should add a barber and a hairdresser and expand the board a little bit, not separate them. And it was mentioned in one of the other meetings that there should be a workshop that the board members know how to give an exam. I think that's real important because I think that a lot of us know our profession, but giving exams is a little bit different. So I think that should be required of a board member. I think that we should be more active with our board as hairdressers and barbers. And during the interim, maybe we could have teleconferences and have a little more input so that we can have these changes made by the next legislative session and not to drag this thing on for another 4 years. I think that once we can get the board requirements straightened out, that maybe we can get some of the statutes and regulations. One of the things I have is the power of the board needs to be redefined. I think that they should be able to inspect shops, not necessarily close a shop down. We don't want to have too much power for any one person, but a citation or a warning given, and then a state inspector would have to be called on to the shop to make the final inspection if the shop was to be closed or if it was recommended. But it would have to be done in a certain time. I think this needs to be regulated. From what I understand, there were problems up in Anchorage, but it took a long time, if at all, that the inspector went up there to inspect the shop. We could still have environmental care involved in this, but I think that the board member should be able to inspect the shops and either write up a citation or a warning. Proctors need to be utilized. This has been mentioned before, but we need to define that a little bit more. But I think hairdressers need to be involved more in the planning. One of the things from Harry Traeger's office, we've received letters and he wants comment to come back to his office, and as hairdressers, that hasn't been done to any real extent. And I think this is something that should be done and not wait until sunset the next time to correct this. I think what we're doing right now is real beneficial to the board. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. Harry, do you have any comments on some of the testimony about separating the boards, or just like from your input here as we are proposing to draft statute changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Harry Traeger, Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing. In response to the separation of the boards, I think the posture of the administration at the present time would not be to endorse that. Again, we'd have to see what the final form would be. I do feel that the public members on the board are necessary evil. And when I say that, I refer to the boards are arranged for public protection, not peer protection. And it's important that the public know that the people that we're licensing through the state agencies are being treated not only equitably, but fairly. I would endorse continuation of a public member on any of the boards. I would probably have to reevaluate the posture of additional board members. We do run into problems with the testing and grading because we have two barbers and two hairdressers, and a lot of times the examinees or the applicants far outnumber anything that can be accomplished in 1 day period. So you have 1 day for the hairdressers and 1 day for the barbers, and people start to get burnt out after 12, 13 hours of examinations. But that's about basically the only thing I have to mention this morning, Mr. Chairman, is that we do endorse the position of the public member on there. For the edification of everyone, the statute says that the two professional members from each of the professions must be currently licensed, and how that happens is that they do submit resumes and they verify with us their license number. The governor's office does take recommendations from professional associations as to board membership. the factor is that we don't have a professional member from the Juneau area. We do have a professional member in Southeast, which is Roger Slavin, a barber, and I know that doesn't please hairdressers. But if we had a hairdresser, it might not please barbers. So I think consideration might be given to the addition of board members. But this administration would not endorse two separate boards at the present time.
Thank you. Roger, are you there in Ketchikan? Will you have any comments for the committee this morning?
Yes, I just got here, so I'm not really sure about what's been covered so far, but I would like to just say concerning the budget and concerning the Morris Gieber is our chairman, and it seems like Morris spends an awful lot of time talking to me from Fairbanks, and I spend a lot of time talking to him, and I'm sure he talks to all the board members, and I'm sure that Morris or any chairman, I'm sure that his phone bill is astronomical, and I would like to see to it that there's some way that he could get reimbursed for all of at least the chairman of the board to get reimbursed for the business calls that he makes, because I know he must have spent $100 just talking to me, and it was strictly board business. And I'm just not sure what you've covered, so I don't really want to spend a lot of time saying something that somebody else has already said. I do feel that the board is working. We can work good together, and I see no problem with barbers and hairdressers or barbers and beauticians having a board together. My only concern is I'd like to see professional proctors in the field, professional proctors in the field of barbering, examining barbers, and proctors that are professionals examining beauticians instead of barbers examining beauticians. That's the only hang-up I really have with the present system. And I also, I would like to see another class of license so that if somebody comes into the state with an already existing barber stylist license, that they could step right into the same class
Thank you, Roger. Hopefully Terry is Kramer is there in Anchorage listening? And is she?
Terry Kramer's in Juneau.
Oh, Terry's in Juneau here. But anyway, that she can be working with my staff, and we'll hopefully deal with this necessary legislation, statute changes if need be to deal with when we extend it forward. Yes, we have one more. Would you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Good morning. My name is Irene Roberts Erickson, and I'm a public board member. And there's some things that I would like to see change on the statutes. The wording cosmetology should be removed from the statutes and worded cosmetician. And also, it was brought to my attention that I'd like to see the wording of licensing from hairdressers and cosmetology to read practitioner of cosmetology. And this would cover both under one license. And also, I would like to see nail care reinstated.
Pardon?
Nail care.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're using a lot of new techniques for nails, and I've seen what has happened to people who use this new nail care, what happens to their hands if they aren't done professionally. I also would like to see that more inspections are done in shops. As a public member, I have seen so many places that are very, very dirty. And I, as a public member, and one of the persons to go for this service, I would like to see that money is appropriated for inspection, and I think that's one of the top priorities. It's nice to have a board make a lot of regulations, but if they're not carried out, what's the use? And I really, really emphasize on that very important issue. A lot of people think that, you know, that there's, it's better to check on restaurants and all this sort of type of thing than the hairdressers, that there's not such a danger, but I think there is a tremendous one. And I think some hairdressers, how they apply chemicals, and some of them don't even have neck strips or towels. And I've seen a hairdresser pour the stuff on the top of the head where it just was running to the side. Those things shouldn't happen. Okay? And it really affects me. I also would like to thank, as a public board member, to the occupational, Harry Traeger, the director of occupational licensing. He has been a tremendous help to our board. He really takes time to listen, not only to the board members, but I think to the people who need help. And we're very fortunate to have him. Thank you.
Thank you. Harry, do you have any comments on the inspection aspect of our person's testimony?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. One of the things is that the current statute addresses it as being the responsibility of Department of Health and Social Services, when in fact the Department of Environmental Conservation is doing it. I tend to agree with Irene that there should be the ability for the board members to go into the shops, the same as Cher has commented previously. And not necessarily on the fact that you're going to close up a shop or something else, but if you see something, just bring it to the owner's attention. And the board members have to have this authority in the statute to be able to do this. They have it in regulation currently. But basically, I think the responsibility and the board members are more in tune with going into the shops than DEC. DEC goes in initially to inspect, and I think there's been previous testimony that a lady had her shop built 4 years ago, and then DEC came in 4 years later and said her plumbing was all out of whack. And I think this is inappropriate. But I do think initially when the shop opens, that DEC should be the one to evaluate, and I think they do, but again, it's a matter of them having the manpower and the time. And I think this should be also directed to the board to do it. I'm sure the boards would do it. And in fact, I know that they try to visit shops when they have their meetings in the various towns.
Thank you. Dennis in Anchorage, have you any comments before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I have a lot. I basically would like to get onto the, you know, the regulations and the statutes that we have in here. Some of them, some statutes we have, we don't even go by. And I'd like to address the committee, because I've addressed the board for over a couple years now and have basically gotten nowhere. I've written letters to Mr. Traeger on different ways to improve and streamline the procedures for giving the state board exams. And that is by having three test sites, one in Juneau, one in Anchorage, and one in Fairbanks. And by either appointing board members in those locations or having proctors in there, because it's totally unfair for somebody from Juneau to have to fly herself and a model to Anchorage or to Fairbanks to take a two-day test. It's unfair and it's too costly. If the state puts these proctors or board members in the locations where the test centers should be, it cuts the cost to all Alaskans, you know, who's taken it. It cuts the cost to the state. They don't have to pay travel expenses nor per diem. We've asked for the exams to be changed totally. Number one, we'd like to standardize the exams and make sure that all examiners should go through some kind of class before testing any student. Right now, if you're appointed a board member, you could be appointed this week and next week to give an exam with nothing but your just, you know, your own experience on what to do. And what we feel is these students went to school for 2,000 hours, gave a year of their life to have an unqualified person test them. And I'm talking about the qualification of the barbers. They're unqualified to be doing this. I'm talking about the qualification of the public member. She's unqualified, but her test grade still counts. That is totally unfair. That is the most unfair thing. I'm sure the lay member on the dental board doesn't get to get in on the dental exams and help grade the dentist, and I don't see why our lay member should be allowed to test students that have went to school for a year to learn a particular thing. The qualification is examiners. We don't feel good. I'm sorry, I said that. Exam should be held every month. Right now it's held every 3 months. If students sometimes miss by getting their papers in by 1 or 2 days, they have to wait exactly 3 more months to take that test. That's just too long, and it's totally arbitrary and unfair. If the state could basically have a test a month in each of those cities for less than $600, where they have a test now every 3 months at $3,000-some-odd. Now, it's just not good business sense to spend the state's money or to take that much time. Re-examination, if a student fails gets a 74%, misses that test by 1 point, the student is made to wait 3 more months before they're allowed to retake that test. We've had a girl that was in a car wreck a year ago who we couldn't get her paperwork down there by the allotted time, which the Department of Commerce and the board wants at 15 working days before. We had a doctor's excuse. We called them, and they said they didn't make any exceptions. So this girl, through no fault of her own, had to wait another 3 months to take the test. We just had a go around with the Department of Commerce the other day where the statute or I guess it's the administrative code says that the paperwork will be down in Juneau 15 days before the exam. But when they send the notices out, sometimes it's 18 and 19 days. They say they're going by work days, but the regulation doesn't call work days. It says 15 days. So we have a student this time missing the board by 2 days because of the way the state raised the 15 days. All right, then the other part is that the written part. Now, if you fail the written part by 1 point, you have to wait another 3 months to take the exam. The other part is that the Department of Commerce sends one of their employees to hand carry the written exams to Anchorage or wherever the exam is held. I don't understand. This just helps keep the cost up. I can't understand why they can't send them in a sealed envelope to one of their board members. If they don't trust their board members, I don't know why, but the licensing examiner from Juneau flies up, hand carries the tests up, and then hand carries them back. It seems like a very unnecessary cost to me. I feel if somebody does fail this thing, when they get the results back, they have failed, they should have 5 days whether to take that written exam. They don't need to. They could go to the governor's office or occupational license or anywhere and show proper ID and retake that test. It's just totally unfair to wait 3 more months. These are just some of the things in the exams we want to get done, taken care of. And the problem is I've been to board meetings for 2 years now with the same complaint. We've got letters, which Harry Traeger has on file, of every school owner contesting some of the regulations that they've presented, that they take them in an arbitrary manner, and if you have a public hearing such as this, 99% of the school owners or the people that are in the profession that know want one thing, and the board goes back and passes totally different laws, and all you have to do is look at the little book that the department sends out with the statutes and the regulations, and there's like, just a second.
Is that from Fairbanks?
Yeah. You want a copy of it?
Yeah. The one printed in May of 1982, too. The booklet has 18 pages. Within 2 months, the board had met so many times and changed so many laws that they added 12 pages. They've repealed and amended, and nobody in his right mind could read that. You have to get an attorney general's opinion to even decipher this stuff, or you have to pay a private attorney to tell you what they've done. We feel they meet too much and change the laws too often. We feel that the board should either have their meetings, but every time they meet, they change regulations, and we cannot keep up with it. And these are just some of the things. Mr. Traeger has a lot of our complaints. We went to the, I guess I could tie the rest of this meeting up and going on just the past things. But what we would like in the future is if we can't get some kind of guarantee that they're going to get rid of the unnecessary thing, then I would ask you to hold the board and until we basically not approve it for another 2 years, because I would rather go with what the Commissioner of Commerce said, and that is basically do away with them and not doing away with licensing. I think there's a real misconception if the board's gone that there is no licensing, and that isn't been the letters and the stuff that I've read from the legislative audit and the reply from the commissioner. The part on the models, they just about choked us out where we can't even get models to set for the board. They write all these rules and regulations up, and then the state itself doesn't even go by them. But these are just some of the things that I think that we should address. I would like to be able to see somebody put some fire under the Department of Commerce and have these state board members going out checking some of the salons. We've turned over evidence to the occupational license of people working without licenses in several shops here in Anchorage, and one says that the Department of Commerce won't let them inspect, even though they have the regulation and the authority from the statutes to inspect at any time that the shop is open. And all we do is that we get sent back from the Department of Commerce to the board, from the board to the Department of Commerce. So we really would like a lot of changes, and I don't think anybody's got enough time to go over all the changes that really need to be made, but those are just a very few of the concerns.
Thank you. I would like your comments, if we could, on the classes. What are we talking about? Your opinion that we should, you know, define the classes. In other words, class like for barbers, class one with A and B or C status for the apprentice? Or how's your opinion that would be best addressed?
Okay, I feel that the classifications, if the barber just wanted to do barbering, they have X amount of hours and they pass the test and get a license. If he wants to upgrade that license to do chemistry work, then he needs X more hours or whatever the board decides on how many more hours of training he needs to do that. So there should be, as most of them have asked for, just a barber's license. If somebody wants to do permanents and chemical work, then they should go to so many extra hours of training and then be licensed for it if they can pass the exam. Some of these statutes here... excuse me here, you know, that stayed in here, and I don't really think the Department of Commerce is going by them. I don't know if you have the little books down there or not, but, you know, it talks about apprenticeships. Some of them are in here that they ask that the student not be able to sit for the test with less than 6 months from the date of commencement for a 350-hour course. That seems a little long because it only takes like 2.5 months to get through 350 hours, and I don't really understand that. I don't believe that occupational license is recognizing the 6 months. There's a lot of these laws in here. If they're not going to enforce them, we don't understand why they put them on the board or put them in law, because it gets right back to the good old boy system. If you're liked, don't worry about it. If they don't like you, they'll nail you with these laws. We feel if they're not going to enforce the laws, either take them off or start enforcing them. That's my main concern.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. I'd like to note to Mr. Huber that we have... received his telecopy of his comments, and we appreciate his comments, and we'll certainly take them into consideration when we draft the regulation. Anyone else here have any comments?
At this time, I'd like to address my being a public member will be up in July. As I leave, I think it's very, very important that you do consider putting a public member. After all, it's us who make the salaries of the professional, both the board and the hairdressers. And I feel that we should know what is happening. We should be there to represent the public. And another thing, I feel that when about testing, I feel that the professionals sometimes are just expect the kids that are just coming out of school to know as much as they do, and I feel that sometimes they grade a little too hard. And as a public member, I mean, I think it just takes a lot of common sense to grade. I mean, you know, I went to hairdressing. I went to modeling and cosmetology school. I did not take hairdressing, but I've been cutting hair since I was 13, not professionally, but. I have done it for my graduates. That's how I started, so I know a little bit about cutting hair, and I still do it today to my kids. And I do go to the hairdresser. I've been going to having my hair in June for 23 years, and I just feel that a public member is a very important thing in the board.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I think that many of the boards that we're addressing at this time have. Suggested that public members, and I know one of the other boards, the architects and engineers, we had some very lively discussions over whether a public member should be involved in highly technical fields of that, whether it best served the public by testing, if they had any knowledge of some of the intricate areas that needed to be, and I think perhaps that's some of the concern here, that perhaps the public member serving, but the voting ability of that public member, I think that's what was the concern. concern, so we'll take that into consideration. Are there anyone else on the network to testify?
Mr. Chairman, we have three participants who have been standing by, and two of them now wish to be heard, and the third is elected to observe. So, with your permission, sir, we'll go to Carolyn Jensen. Is that satisfactory?
They have the right to.
Lisa Ashcraft would be next. Is that satisfactory with you, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, that's fine. In Anchorage, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Carolyn, would you care to comment on? We'd appreciate it.
Now, this is Lisa Ashcraft.
Okay, Lisa.
My comment is on the apprenticeship system. I think that we need to have some type of rules governing them where we can check on them more closely. Most of them, as it's paid now, do not have to turn in paperwork till the end of their year of apprenticeship. I feel this should be done quarterly, and I feel that the board members should be going out and checking on these facilities to see that there actually is an instructor on the premises when that apprentice person is working. Also to see that there's some kind of lesson plan, which it does call for in our statute, that there is supposed to be a lesson plan turned into the state, which for some reason the previous board refused to recognize this. We've had problems with that. Also on shop licensing under the statutes, it calls for a manager's license or a salon owner who is not a licensed hairdresser. It's in our statute, but we are no longer issuing that license. I feel we should be reissuing that license again.
Maybe once a quarter.
And on the failure to possess a license or a permit under the statute, it says that they are guilty of a Class B misdemeanor. I feel the board, upon inspection of this, should be able to issue that Class B misdemeanor and then have it followed up by your investigator. As it is now, we can go in, but we really can't do anything but turn it over to the investigator, and there seems to be a lapse in time as to when the investigators can get out and check these salons. My understanding, we have two investigators here in Anchorage. They have 18 boards to serve. That doesn't give them much time to come check for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Who do we have? Carolyn, are you there in Anchorage? Would you care to comment?
Mr. Chairman, this is the moderator. Anchorage has completed its testimony, and the folks who are standing by are quite satisfied that we turn it back over to you, sir.
Okay, are there anyone else in the network that wishes to testify?
This is Paula, the moderator in Fairbanks, and we have a gentleman that has additional comments, if he could at this time.
Yes, please, sir.
Yes, this is Morris Keeber again. I agree wholeheartedly with what Lisa just had to say. The quarterly inspection, I think, is a very, very necessary thing. We also enter into the post-secondary student loan program. I think that there are some changes in the laws taking place there. It concerns me that a lump sum of money is given to an individual, as Lisa stated, and there's really no follow-up for one full year. I would like to see some type of quarterly system instituted to where the individual would be kept abreast of what is going on. All too often, they burn up the money that the state is issuing, and they show up for an exam, and I sometimes get the impression that some of them don't really care if they pass that exam or not. I sometimes believe that some of these individuals are more interested in getting a student loan than they are getting a license. I think that a quarterly system of checking on this would do an awful lot of good throughout the state, and that certainly would be cost efficient. I would like to also thank Mr. Harry Traeger, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Irene has stated. Harry has been a tremendous help and a tremendous sense of direction for all of us. I believe that we do now have a board that can eliminate some problems. Most of us are new. I think we do have to have a little time to work on these problems in order to do some correction. In the process of changing some of the statutes on the papers that I sent down to you there, I think this in itself would help correct some of the problems. And that's all I would have to say at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Marsh. We appreciate your comments. Are there anyone else in Ketchikan or out in the network that care to testify? OK, Okay, hearing none, at this time I'll turn the network back over to the moderator, and we appreciate the various moderators out there in teleconference land, and for getting up and sharing the network with us this morning.
Mr. Moderator in Juneau, I'd like to thank all those that have participated. At this time, I will dial Ms. Kramer off the network.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're off, right? It's my intention to work with Mrs. Kramer and with various the board members that have testified, and with to address some of the problems, and hopefully the next time we bring this up, we'll have something that we can pass out and extend the board. So with that, I think that's about all from the board committee. We appreciate you getting in.
Do you think that there will be another committee meeting?
There'll be one more, and at that time we'll have the we'll address the legislation. That's why I had the drafter on listening in.
Do you know what that date will be?
No.
Yet?
It probably will be next week, yeah. But we don't have any. We'll give everybody plenty of time in advance. Hopefully we can give them, especially the local people here, advanced copies of the proposed draft prior to the meeting.
That would be great.
Okay.
I was one of the members when it was, you know, they were just combining both boards together. That was the hardest thing to do, to combine, make, you know, the barbers and the hairdressers sort of think alike and blend in.
Yeah.
It was a very, very
hard goal.
You know?
I think.
And I feel right now that if we keep it up, you know, working with both boards and making some changes to sort of blending, I think it will be successful. But, you know, at the beginning it's very hard, and say the board did this, the board did that. But, Jesus, you know, combining to work together and making agreements is just, you know.
I think probably just the idea of getting the dialogue going between the barbers and the hairdressers is probably the biggest hurdle that we have to accomplish. I know there's some misunderstanding from both sides, and both sides are probably very jealous of their own, different professions. And hopefully, I know Rick's name is Probert, been a barber for a long, long time, and he showed quite a bit of concern, I know, about even being here this morning, of some of the areas that he felt was strong enough.
The only thing difference that I see between the barbers and the hairdressers, the barbers, unless they're hair stylists, they don't use any chemicals. And that was the reason when the board was trying to be sunsetted before, I went with the hairdresser to help them out to keep the board on, because I, as a customer, I wanted to make sure that the professionals, people with knew what they were doing, would continue, you know, being licensed. And it was a danger to us, you know, to me, you know. And that was one of the reasons I was putting to be a public member, because I've always struggled with being keeping the board. And I still do.
Some of the comments on the, the schooling and abuse practice, you know, I'm not certain that that's in our, if we have anything to do with our support, you know, I think that's probably a loans committee or somebody else should be addressing that area of it, and I don't think that's appropriate that this committee, I know it's a problem, and for St. Furnace sets of finance, that's why I'd ask him to scrutinize that, but I think that would probably be inappropriate if we address that area of abuse, if it is an area of abuse.
Evidently it has been, because they've mentioned it enough times.
Yes, but I don't think that the system being abused is just necessarily this barber's hairdresser school. I think that perhaps there's some other areas that, and I know it's in the legislature, known situations can check
out. Yeah, barbers and hairdressers are just a small percentage of the abuse that's going on.
Yeah. Anyway, I appreciate you coming down again, and if there's nothing more to come up with, maybe we're adjourned.